All right, welcome to Blair and Barker. It's an off-day version of Blair and Barker, or as we refer to it around here, just another day where the Jays won't score five runs. I had to get that out of the way.
What's the matter with you? Seriously.
I mean, I had to get it out of the way. It was going to come up at some point.
No, it wasn't. I wasn't going to say that one time a day.
It's going to come up at some point.
I'm positive.
Jays have today off. They're in Washington, D.C.
What do you think they're doing? Working on their swing?
Oh, rim shot!
There's a lot to do in Washington, D.C.
Is there?
You ever been there? You ever gone to the Spy Museum?
Yeah, there's not really anything to do.
There is. So there's Blair House.
I think it's hot there, too.
There's Blair House. Go to Blair House. That's where I think where the vice president used to live or
something. Why did you go there?
I was there covering baseball several times.
Yeah.
Spy Museum's awesome.
Sounds awesome.
No, it is. It's really good.
I've never been.
Spy Museum's great.
The couple of times I went, it was really, really hot. You couldn't walk outside.
Smithsonian's like fun. I mean, Smithsonian's a museum. It's full of dead stuffed things.
What's wrong with that? It's your thing.
Georgetown's kind of cool.
I just wonder.
Adams Morgan's a good place to go for restaurants and bars. Anyhow, that's all you need to know about Washington.
Jeff Jenkins used to take dry swings on the plane.
What?
when he struggled. Dry swings on the plane. Standing up on the plane, full suited out. Taking dry swings. Bat and everything.
If I'm not mistaken,
heard that? Anybody ever done that?
I've heard of dudes taking dry swings in their hotel room.
On the plane.
Full
suited. Because, yeah, we had to wear a suit when we were in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of to each his own. Every manager has their own little thing where if you don't have to wear a suit. I don't know. Does John make you wear a suit? I don't remember.
I don't believe. I know Gibby didn't. I mean, I remember the one charter flight I was on, Josh Donaldson was dressed in camouflage. I do remember that. I do. It was somehow fitting.
When you make money, you can wear what you want to wear.
This is.
San Diego, I had to wear a suit. The Reds, I had to wear a suit. Milwaukee, I had to wear a suit.
Yeah, nobody
wore a suit. Toronto, I didn't have to wear a suit. I was with Gibby, so I didn't have to wear a suit.
Gibby didn't even have his guys line up for the national anthem. You ever notice that?
I was always out there.
Gibby was never out for the anthem because I always used to bug his ass. I'd say, you come across as like you're Mr. Stars and Stripes and Mr. America. I said, your team's the worst team in baseball when it comes to the national anthem. Hell, it was like Brian Butterfield and a couple of bat boys half the time.
But you think that's his doing?
Yeah, he didn't care.
It was not.
Gibby didn't care if his players came out. And I don't have a problem with it because I'm the same way when it comes to national anthems. I got no time for a national anthem. I'm here to play.
I'm here to play a sports event.
I'm not here to play the national anthem. Mm. No,
I wouldn't have liked you if you were on my team.
The Montreal Expos, we used to fly in their charter all the time. I think the rule was sports coats. Yeah. You didn't have to have ties.
I have seen the Blue Jays coming on because I've been to the couple of games on Sunday when they were traveling that day, and they were wearing jumpsuits and whatever else they wanted to wear, jeans.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it should be. I know it's a big league, though.
You are on a jet private.
Yeah, you're by yourself.
Yeah, even more reason to look like you've done it before because I've done it. There you go.
Jesus.
I'm telling you.
It's like that hockey thing where everybody, they wear suits and everything. Who the hell wants to wear suits?
But wearing jumpsuits and you're in the big leagues. That's stuff I wore in the minor leagues because I couldn't afford a suit.
Jesus.
That's the difference.
You make that much. The idea behind making money is so you don't have to wear a suit and tie. That's the idea behind it.
Football players do that?
I don't know.
They go into games?
They do, yeah. I've seen eye to eye
camera. You have seen it? I haven't. I've seen every quarterback you ever see get off a plane. They're always
it's dumb.
Suited up. Nice little tie.
That's dumb.
Sharp.
It's dumb.
Look good, you play good. Jeff.
Yeah, look good, play good.
I'm saying.
Well, clearly maybe it doesn't work.
Maybe them hitters should dress a little different. What do you think?
Suits and ties.
I'm just saying. Hockey players don't have to wear suits on the.
Oh God, yeah, they wear suits going to and from the arena. Haven't you seen it? It's like
you've
a
never
big
been,
thing.
You've never been on a hockey plane.
I've been on a charter. Yeah, you when have? I covered the Calgary Flames, dudes are always wearing suits and ties. Always.
Look, it is 162 game season and 182 games or 182 days. I mean, I would guess you'd occasionally be lenient with that. But you are a professional who makes a ton of money.
Nobody's going to see you.
Get you a nice. You do.
Nobody's going to see you. You're going from the ballpark on a private bus.
It's like what you do off the field. You're doing it so people see you do it, or you do it because it makes you better.
It's an off day, can't you? We're talking about clothes.
Well, that's true.
Oh, yes. No, I think it's dumb. You can wear whatever the hell you want. That used to drive me nuts. Who the hell wants to be in a suit and tie in a 6-hour flight? Or who the hell wants to be in?
You don't have to wear a tie.
Well, who wants to be in a suit in a 6-hour flight?
Take your
jacket
off. Take your jacket off.
Wear sweats. Sweats and sandals.
You look like a minor leaguer. You play like a minor leaguer. That's what I always say.
Sit in a plane.
Huh?
You're sitting in the plane chilling. You don't need to ties.
Yeah. Jeez. Can I have lobster instead of a filet? Yeah. Don't want to get it on my jumpsuit. It's like, can I have wine? I'd rather have the white wine than the red wine so I don't spill it on my jumpsuit.
I tell you about the time I drank all of Marco. I told you the time I drank all of Marco Estrada's beer.
Pro.
The one charter I was on with the Blue Jays, they come by and they offer you beer, and they had Lagunitas, which I happen to love.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, Lagunitas, all of that. And then the flight attendant came back and said, actually, that's Marco Estrada's.
He was chapped because he didn't have a good game?
No,
it was. Yeah, he did.
God love Marco. Marco was a good. Marco came up and said, you know, that's my beer. And I said, yeah, I didn't know that when I ordered it. He said, that's okay. You're okay. That was Marco.
Anyway. You ever been on a plane where some player walks up and calls you out for something you did?
Right? No. Nelson Santavania, when he was a catcher for the Montreal Expos, collapsed on a charter flight and had some sort of, it was an allergenic seizure or something like that. And
wow.
they ended up having to land the plane.
That's awful.
Yeah, there's, I mean, and you know, the rule is generally when you're on the, and this is why a lot of places stopped traveling on the charter. The rule was what you saw in the charter, you didn't report because it was the player's area.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm
talking about beforehand. Like, you know, you've put some stuff in a paper before. That's
the only one.
Raise some eyebrows.
I mean, Tim Raines, one time, he didn't like threaten to throw me off the plane, but
push you through the window.
I think he said something like, why don't you move over by the emergency exit? And I kind of took that. No,
I've often thought that before, too.
I went back and forth with him a lot.
Well, no. Especially when I saw you reading a movie.
No, but I mean, in Montreal, a lot of times, the reporters would fly on the charter. And I'll tell you how old it was. You could smoke on the charter at that time. And we used to have, now Montreal was a big traveling car, right? There were two French language papers, two English language papers, wire service. There were French language TV, French language radio. So there were a ton of reporters, and most of the time we'd fly in the charter, and the Expos made money on that because you're charged a first-class ticket in the charter.
Yeah.
In a lot of instances, it was just easier to travel, so the teams, you know, the newspapers thought, I mean, writers used to travel in the team charter all the time.
Yeah.
And then it stopped, I think, at one point because, one, it just got too costly, and two, at some point, somebody figured out, you know, if a plane goes down with a baseball team on it and the writer's on the plane, who's going to write the story? No, I'm just kidding. Eventually they decided that, and I think what happened, frankly, is some of us started collecting Marriott points and we thought, you know what? If we can get airline points, let me see. Can I strike a deal with the paper?
Man.
If you let me book my flights, I'll collect Marriott.
You're something else.
But yeah, the rule was whatever
happened.
I mean,
at the end of the season.
I can tell you, I saw a writer who shall not be named get locked into the bathroom on a chartered flight for the entire flight.
Yeah.
With players barricading
the door. I've seen some good fights amongst players on planes.
Yeah, I haven't seen. I mean, my favorite charter story is one Felipe Alou used to tell about Rico Cardi. Somebody stole Rico Cardi. Rico Cardi had a bottle of rum. Somebody stole it. Now, we're talking, this is like the 60s or something like that, and they were in a small plane, and the fight started, and the way Felipe described it, so many people were jumping all over the place. The plane started
going
crazy. Like that. But other than that, no, there were some silly stuff that happened that I wouldn't, you just didn't report. But no, I don't remember players getting into fist fights on the charter. I traveled on a charter for probably 2 years.
Bob Wickman. Remember Bob?
I do remember
Bob. Half a finger?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen him on planes close the curtain. And it's just.
Oh, really?
It's like, what do you do? Where do you go? It's like, don't look at them. yeah, there were serious ones.
Jeff Scary. Judy. Now I do. Okay, I was not on this flight, but this is a. The thing that led Jeff. Remember pitcher Jeff Judon?
Absolutely. Played drums in the minor leagues
Big
during
guy.
Baseball
game. Big guy.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeff
yeah.
Judon was let go by the Montreal Expos because he broke Pedro Martinez's boombox in a charter because Pedro was playing his music and Judon got up and smashed the boombox. And he was like rinsed the
they get released?
Next day.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And he was kind of hanging on. Anyhow, there's good stories. I mean... Caleb Joseph's going to join us at 2:30.
He's texting me right now as we speak. I'm sure he's got a couple good stories.
Bill Shaken of the LA Times will be along. We've got to talk about Mike Trout, who's, you know, got a meniscus injury. I mean, this guy's, I don't even know where to begin with Mike Trout.
I feel sorry for him.
Oh, I do too.
Not about the money.
He's making a ton of money.
But he was getting off to a good season and, you know, a healthy Mike Trout playing 125, 135 games is good for baseball.
Yeah.
It really is, and not to see him do that. And played 120 games since 2019. Like, it's been a while since he's actually been on the field a little while. I just don't know how you ever keep him on. Like, how do you do it? Could you DH him every day? I mean, it doesn't sound like you even really know what happened to him to cause the injury. Like, how do you know even what
it's almost to the point to keep him on? It's just such an odd story because people are aware. Mike Trout, when healthy, is the best player not named Shohei Ohtani in baseball. He just is.
Yeah.
And I think if you probably put 100 players in this room and said, leave aside Shohei Ohtani, who's your favorite player, they would go Mike Trout. He signed a really lengthy contract with the Angels. The Angels are abject. They're just not a very good franchise. There's no sign that they're ever going to be a good franchise. But Mike Trout seems to have been, he seems to be happy doing what he's going to do, you know, doing what he's doing. And it's always been a debate in baseball. Why doesn't Mike Trout, now this is when he was healthy, why couldn't he be in the East Coast? Why couldn't he be with the Yankees and Mets or Philadelphia or everybody to see him? Like, the fact of the matter is, for a guy who was a great baseball player, it's remarkable how little he's seen. His team has no national exposure. The only time you see him is all-star games, if he's playing. In a perfect world, Mike Trout is playing for the Phillies, or he's playing for the Yankees, or he's playing for the Mets. But frankly, right now, we just settled to have Mike Trout playing. And I mean, his list of injuries is name a body part, and he's probably pulled it, strained it, broken it, or
60 or 70
like
games
that.
A year is just not good enough.
No.
Like, he's got to figure it out.
No.
Yeah, I don't
and
know
he
how he
is,
does.
Yeah, his, when he was healthy, when he broke into the game, oh, my else. God. He was going to, I remember the debate was always, when it came to the American League MVP, like, literally every year you could vote for Mike Trout. There was a time where you could vote for Mike Trout as the MVP and nobody could argue. It's, Barker's right. He's making a ton of money. In a perfect world, I think Mike Trout at some point in the next 2 years goes to the Angels and says, okay, let's.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, let's try to do something. Because the Angels can't move on.
He never plays at this age. You think 2 years from now he's going to play?
The Angels can't move on, frankly, until they get rid of that contract. Like, they are. But all that aside, as I said, Bill Shaken will join us, and we'll talk about what's up with Mike Trout. Again, it's not a – the money makes it hard for you to feel – to call it a sad story, but I do feel bad for the guy. Everything you hear about him is the dude loves to play. The dude loves to compete.
I mean, most people do that are making tons of money.
Should we give out the back leg line number?
Absolutely.
Because
sure,
we did Blue Jays talk yesterday, and we didn't get to all the calls and texts, et cetera, we wanted to get to. So the back leg line is 416-413-3959. We might have time at the end of the show here to squeeze in a couple of calls. Of course, yesterday we spent a great deal of time talking about the 6-1 loss to Kansas City. And the lack of offense from the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
If you want to call in, you know, pulling that rope again, feel free.
It's the only rope to pull on.
Pretty much. You want to talk about what you've seen in April. I asked yesterday, surprise. I said, what gives you hope? Nobody called up. But is there anything out there giving you hope about this team? It's a 416-413-3959.
Bassett looked better. I give you hope.
Bassett looked better. Danny Jansen hit a home run. Beyond that, I didn't see a whole hell of a lot that gave me hope. Vladdy hit a lot of balls hard again.
He hit one ball hard.
Okay. He's hitting a lot of balls hard these days.
He does that a lot. But it's like, again, I said this to you whenever, you know, you're looking at how hard he hits the ball. It's like the little cement mix and breaking ball he got yesterday that he hit the 115-mile-an-hour single to left. He's far enough along in his career. That should be hit to the moon. To the moon. And it's not. Why?
Late.
That's why. Absolutely. You're top spinning it to left instead of hitting the center of the baseball because you're on time. Your shoulders are square. You're hitting through the baseball instead of around it. Why aren't they fixed that? Can you explain that to me?
No.
I mean, you got to figure he's hitting.
Barker's got his.
One, no, he's hitting.
Barker's got a sheet of numbers here. Here we go.
No, it's not. You wonder how this is going to get better, and there's a couple of guys. It's like Springer's hitting 154 with runners on with no homers. Vladdy's hitting 148 with no homers.
How many homers do they have with men on base again?
Two. It's the worst in baseball. Two.
And how many opportunities are they getting with runners in scoring position?
Scoring position, they have two homers.
Yeah.
They're hitting 192. That's last in baseball.
Yeah.
They have 239 at-bats. That's 22nd. So they're not getting a ton. They're not hitting a ton. They're not hitting any homers. Like, again, we can sort of understand they're not home run hitting team. But I think this is why when you listen to the front office talk about the first four guys in the order, they're talking about the first four guys. Stats like that. And they just have to get better, right? And the obvious names are the guy leading off, the guy hitting third. It has to get better. Like, it's not good enough for Springer to hit 154 runners on base. It's not good enough. He's getting a lot of at-bats. High 30s. Like, the way they're constructing the lineup, guys in that certain
You made a great point about this. No, you made a really good point about this because obviously there's a lot of focus when a team is playing as poorly or hitting as poorly.
They got eight home runs with runners on base. That's last in baseball.
But you made an interesting point about this because given where this team is now, as if you listened yesterday, today you're probably not, you won't be surprised to know that a lot of folks are out for people's jobs right now based on how this team is playing.
I blame the players.
And you and Charles Barkley. And
coach not holding a bat.
No. Well, and this gets to something you said today that I think is important because I've kind of felt guilty in that I'm not always a fire the manager guy because the manager can only do what he can do with what he's got. And you made a point today that really kind of brought that home for me. This is a team that's not going to hit a lot of home runs. Don Mattingly's told us they're not going to hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah.
John Schneider has set up his lineup in such a way that the guys who are supposed to be up with men on base are coming up with men on base. Now, you'd like to see more of it, obviously, but the guys who are getting the most at-bats, now for a while it was Alejandro Kirk getting all the at-bats with men on base. Mm-hmm. The guys who are getting at-bats with men on base are the guys you want.
Yeah, I don't think.
So the construction of the lineup, in some ways, it's working.
Absolutely.
This is almost like I'm trusting the process, but I'm not saying it. But in some ways, the lineup is working. It's just that the players aren't coming through.
Yeah, I think the stats, underlying stats, tell John that he's able to come out in front of the press and say what he says.
He's not moving guys out of the leadoff.
Who's he filling in the blanks with? Look, David Schneider has more RBIs than Bo, Vladdy, and Springer. David Schneider has 12 RBIs. Bo has 11. Wow. Vladdy has 11. And Springer has 5.
And he's healthy.
He has 5 RBI. Like, you just can't win that way. Like, you're going to be one of the worst hitting teams in baseball. You can't say it any other way. Like, they are one of the 3 worst hitting teams in baseball. You can't sugarcoat that anymore. Like, the underlying hit the top spin 115-mile-an-hour line drive single to left just consistently is not going to do it with nobody on base. Like, it's just not going to get it done. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's no – like guessing what they need to do better or who needs to do better. You can't sell it to a fan. You can't sell it to the player. that, okay, if you could keep doing this, it's going to happen. Yeah, there's changes that need to be made, whatever that's mechanical, mentally, whether that's how you translate the information. Look, I'd love to come on here and yell and scream about the khakis. We have no idea how they're relaying the message or how much information they are relaying. And I will say this. The first four guys in that lineup are old enough now to say no. They are. I wasn't good enough. Yeah. I had to listen to Rod Carew. Rod Carew, again, great human, one of the best hitters to walk. Or to me, he was. Was to
great
me.
Great human?
Well, he was to me. When I played, he was a nice guy. Just he was the worst hitting coach I ever had. No disrespect. He just wasn't – what he was saying to me wasn't working. You'd ask four or five other people, they'd probably say the opposite of that. But for me, that's what I said. And I didn't know how to say no. That's not going to work for me. I can't hit a fillet shot to left. I got to try and catch it out front because I'm a big dude, and that's how I got to the big leagues.
That is a point that we don't
– hard.
That I feel sometimes doesn't get stressed enough. And in a lot of ways, some of the people around the Blue Jays don't help it because they continue to talk about Vladdy and Bo being young. They're not anymore. Young in baseball is 21 and in your first year, 20 in your first year. Chronologically, they're not old players, but they're in their, what, sixth year, fifth year, fifth and a half year. Yeah, at this point, you know what you're about.
I've talked to Bo enough to know that I don't think that khaki thing and the information, I don't think that's a problem with him. Now, the Vladdy part of it, I think that's a different story. I think there's a bunch of stuff being sold to him, like the last games you've been hitting this amount of balls hard. It's performance-driven with him. I don't care. It's no longer about how hard you're hitting a single to left with nobody on base. It ain't about that anymore. I don't care. You care? He shouldn't care. He shouldn't care anymore. He should just care that with traffic and runners on, he's not very good at it. That's what he should care about.
Isn't the idea behind those numbers that if you are making good contact and you are getting a lot of exit velo on the balls that you're hitting, eventually, because of your skill, that will translate into home runs.
If he's 20-year-old and he just got in the big leagues, I can sell that to him. He's been around long enough to now, and there's a big enough sample size that will tell you since 2021 that the top spend hard single to left, why are you doing that? Like, why is that ball not going in the seats? That ball should have went in the seats. That's a hanging cement mix and breaking ball out over the plate that if he keeps the front side in and he's on time with his lower half, that thing, because he does have talent, lots of it, he should hit that ball to the moon. That's what they should be asking the question. And maybe they are. Maybe we just haven't really heard that because they don't talk a lot. And maybe they are doing that and it's just not translating. I don't know. But, you know, there's a few guys on there that,
maybe they need to bring in an outside consulting firm like the Red Sox and Yankees have done.
It is odd that you see older players coming to the Blue Jays. Justin Turner's their best hitter right now, today. He's been here, a month and a half? He's their best hitter.
You know what a real...
Why is that?
You know what a good year last year? And, I mean,
Brandon Belt. Yeah. Why did Brandon Belt have a good year? Was he getting different information everybody else was getting? Or is he sort of set in his ways, been around long enough to go, you know what, dude, I'm okay, but I appreciate it. This is what got me here. I am who I am. Man, it's just odd that the best hitters the last 2 years have been dudes that are in their late 30s.
Who's showing up.
Yeah, that haven't been here very long and haven't been a part of the process. Maybe that's where it's at. I have no idea. I'm probably like a bunch of fans
else,
searching.
Like everybody else, we're searching. Because as much as I didn't have great expectations for this team offensively, honest to God, I thought they'd hit enough that they would be able to be a playoff team.
32 games is a lot. I mean, I've been on a lot of teams that have lineups who struggle 7 games. 10 games, 12 games, not 32 games. Well, 32 games a lot.
And it's 32 games and it's the same people.
Lot. That's a lot of struggle. And what do you have a bunch of smart people around your team for? To help them get out of struggles quicker. So something right there, just by saying that's not working, the numbers, just obvious going and looking at certain numbers, what they're hitting with runners on, scoring position is the bottom end. White Sox and A's.
Ooh.
One of those two teams and some of those stats are higher than the Jays. The Jays are like 30th in some of those stats. It's embarrassing. Why is that? I think it's not talent. You've been here long enough to sort of know what you're going to get on an everyday basis. Why has it been 32 games? 32 games is a lot. That's a lot. We have Caleb on. He played in the big leagues longer than I did. I'm going to ask him if he's been a part of a team that went through a 32-game slump. Again, a lot of really great hitters struggle for a week at a time, right? Wake up and back hurts, and I'm adjusting something in my lower half, and it gets me in a funk, and I just can't hit a baseball for a week. And then my team struggles because everybody else is trying to pick up the slack for me, and it just doesn't work that way, right? But not for 32 games. And why is that? Why do you have smart people? Khakis, that's again, if I were going to use that part of what is given to me, it would be beneficial to walk up to one of those and go, hey, help me. Why am I not doing it? Instead of just telling me I'm hitting a top spin 115 mile an hour single to left. It's not good enough. That should be a homer because you're talented. You have bat speed and you have torque and rotation's great. Like, that's all. That part of it's very confusing to me, and I really don't understand it.
Well, let's see if Caleb Joseph understands it. He is our Blue Jay Central analyst on Sportsnet.
I bet he don't.
I don't know. Take my chance with Caleb.
All right.
Caleb Joseph is our Blue Jay Central analyst on Sportsnet. He will join us after the break. A reminder, 416-413-3959. That's a back leg line. Maybe you've got some answers. What would you do with the lineup? You guys watch the game. What would you do with the lineup? Help John Schneider out. Help us out. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Big opinions and in-depth conversations covering the Leafs, Jays, Raptors, and the NFL. The J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, complete and utter lack of respect showing.
Tell you something.
It's Blair and Barker. It's an off day. No off day for us, though.
No, never.
Never an off day.
Mm-mm. Well, I wish.
The Jays will open a three-game series in Washington tomorrow. Then it's off to Philadelphia.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
No, I mean.
That Philly series is not going to be easy.
Well, it's a short one.
They got some good pitching.
It's a short one. The Phillies do have good pitching, though.
Yeah.
Ranger Suarez is pretty good.
Their whole staff's good.
Yeah. Anyhow, not to worry because it's guaranteed win weekend against the Washington Nationals. And Blair and Barker will be doing Blue Jays talk following the game.
Friday. There you go.
And, yeah.
After
guaranteed win weekend. Guaranteed. Just like tonight is guaranteed win night for the Leafs. 4-1 tonight for the Leafs. Let's bring in Caleb Joseph, Blue Jay Central analyst on Sportsnet. Are you on the, what are you, which
14th hole?
14th hole now?
Probably, yeah.
Just finished the 18th. Grabbing a little lunch and then about to turn. You guys been outside? It's absolutely gorgeous out
no,
here.
No, we haven't.
No, we haven't. We're inside have a studio. We have to work.
Yeah, we have to work, bud.
We have to fill the time when you're not on.
Yeah.
Man, so sorry for you guys.
How'd you do today? How'd it go?
Well, you talked about a guaranteed win. I need a guaranteed ball that will find the green. So if I could find the green, I'd be pretty good. But I was a little scattery today.
Is your golf swing better than your baseball swing?
Way better. You know why? Because I figured out how to actually, like, move. I figured out how to hit a baseball at age 35, and it was too late. And it really does translate. It's the same swing, bent over. But if you use the right movements, yeah, it's pretty amazing how similar they are when you start to dissect.
I told you the story that my wife got me lessons for my birthday for a golf instructor. I took one swing. She laughed at me. That's how bad it was. It was awful.
Well, I have seen Hazel hit a golf ball, and she's very impressive. And
no, it wasn't Hazel. It was the instructor. It was the person's.
Okay. I was gonna say.
I mean, she always laughs at me.
Hazel laughs at him all the time.
She always laughs at me, but it was the instructor.
Okay, so
she had her hand over her mouth trying not to laugh.
You made the right decision and put the clubs away. You did the right thing there.
Yeah, I've used them once.
How was your exit velo?
Oh, good point.
Yeah, all of my metrics were really good. Mm-hmm. I still shot 78, though.
Underlying.
I'm going to stay with the process.
There you go.
And everything's good except the result.
There you go. Everything's good except the results.
Dig in there a little. just dig it.
So, Caleb, we've the same as everybody else in the city. We got no answers.
No.
We don't have any answers.
Yeah.
We're so bereft of answers, we're asking callers to give us answers to what's wrong with this team. They can't keep running out 1, 2, 3, 4, can they? I understand. I don't know who you replace it with. I truly just answered your question.
But sure they can.
Man, really?
Yeah. Who else?
Change it up somehow. No.
It is. It's confounding, really, to be honest with you. I struggle with this back and forth yo-yo game because you have to get those guys going to get to where you want to go, but they're obviously not going. But if you think changing the order is going to get them going, then you're probably living under a rock. There are options you can go down. You can bring up a couple guys, but those are more spark plug type guys than engine guys. But can you really motivate a player like Guerrero Jr. or Bichette by moving them down in the order and maybe hitting the Ernie Clement? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that's the case. And so I don't blame John Schneider for hanging in there. There's no quick answer. That's the biggest thing is a lot of people have been around this game a long time and you're caught scratching your head with what absolutely has to happen. And what is a bit intriguing to me is kind of the one guy that's not struggling is a guy that's 39 in his first year as a Blue Jay. And that's just what I'm trying to figure out. What is the secret sauce that he has? Is it experience? Is it just ability to lock it in? That's what I'm more or less trying to figure out. And then how do those other guys grab whatever Turner has and run with it?
Anything you're seeing from Springer? He's hitting 154 with no homers with runners on base. He's got 5 RBIs. Anything you're seeing from him that would give a fan hope that he's going to turn this around? A slow starter, he keeps telling, and everybody tells us that. But I think we're past that. He's old enough now, and I think that sort of, shorten that up a little bit and start to try and figure it out. Anything you're seeing that you think that will happen?
Yeah, it's long, it's late. For me, he's not on time. He's just rarely on time for really either pitch. And we've talked about being in the gray area forever. If you're late on the fastball, you're in a heap. If you're early on the breaking ball, you're in a heap. And I'm at the point with Springer now, whereas I don't really care if you want to foul off fastballs, but you're going to have to do something against breaking ball. Like, you're going to have to really hammer that breaking ball. And he's just missing both of them. And you can't have that from a player that's paid like he is and a player that's hitting at the top of the order that's getting a lot of ABs. I wonder, age-wise, if it is age or if he just gets caught in the what if. And I talked to Justin Turner, talked about this on Blue Jay Central. I asked Turner, what do you got like on the whole of this lineup? And he said, I think they've got good plans and they get up there. And right before they're going to try and execute that plan, right before the pitcher throws the ball, it's that 5% of, I might be sitting heater, but what if he throws me a slider? It's that little what if that gives that 1% of doubt, which takes you off the fastball, which puts you in between. And so what I see with Turner is a committed swing. He just rarely gives at-bats away, and that for me is a commitment to his plan. And I don't think it's as easy for a Springer just to say, hey, look, go hit the fastball. I'm not sure he, can get on time and get it in the position right now, to be honest with you. When's the last time you seen George Springer hit velocity foul to the pool side 385 feet? Like, I don't even know. I mean, every fastball swing is going backwards or going back over the first base dugout. So that's a bit of a microcosm with the entire offense for me. Like, if they're just constantly caught in between, except for one guy, and that's Turner.
Is it a hard thing to say no to a bunch of khakis that are giving you information? And it just, look, I couldn't say no, CJ. I'm sure it was tough for you to say no because we weren't, you know, the big time names making the big time money. I had to shake my head and, you know, think that everything you were saying, think, no, I had to do it. I at least had to try to do it. That's how I was going to stay in the big leagues, is at least give the old college try and go up there and try and kick it to my ear and, you know, 60-40 on my backside and create a little loft and, you know, be late and jam myself and just at least it looks like I'm trying to do exactly what you're telling me to do. That's my question is, are they, you think, good enough in when it comes to between the ears just to say, you know what, I appreciate it, but I'm good. I'm going to go up there and do my own thing.
Yeah, well, I don't think the Stars needed anything other than somebody to put a ball on a tee. I mean, I played with Manny Machado, and when he was struggling, somebody was there just to put the ball on the tee. I sat in the cage and watched his routine day after day after day. Same with Nelson Cruz, same with Mark Trumbo when they were hot. The Stars don't need somebody to tell them what to do. They just need somebody to put it on there and let them figure it out. And that is a bit of a trap sometimes that I know everybody's yelling and screaming, fire the hitting coach. And I understand what they're saying, but the Stars and I think the top three that we're talking about, they are not young anymore. These guys are 5, 6, 7. Springer's what, close to 10 years service time.
Got his 10 years a couple days ago.
What it takes.
Yeah.
He should know exactly what's going on. Shouldn't have anybody having to tell him how to switch it up. So, yeah, I was that same guy. I if they told me to swing left-handed, I went up there left-handed and making sure that they're seeing me swing left-handed. I think your guys like Addison Barger and Schneider and even Ernie Clement, those are the guys that are impressionable.
Yep.
For me, it's you use that info to then generate whatever your plan wants to be. Like, that should be singular. You know, you use the info at their age and their experience. They should be able to sift through it. I'm not using that as a scapegoat anymore. If they were first-year players, I would say I do understand that could be confusing trying to figure out which is which. These guys are being paid $20 million. They're in arbitration. You know, they're not a rookie anymore. Take whatever you want. Leave whatever you want. There doesn't even have to be a conversation. But show that you have some sort of game plan. The biggest thing for me is show that there is an adjustment. If you're late on the fastball, George, and you continue to swing at it, show me a 500-foot pulled homer foul that you are making an adjustment. Show me something. It can't be more of the same and expect a different result.
Well said.
Really well said.
Absolutely.
The good news is you only have George Springer under contract for 2 more years at $22.5 million.
75 more million.
I will say this about Springer, and I do need to defend him a little bit. The path is fine, okay? Like, I don't think his path is, like, terrible when he's swinging up or he's swinging down, like, I do think sometimes Vladdy does have a tendency to get a little path issue going. Springer's path is fine. It's just all about commitment and contact point, being ready on time. That's another thing that Turner said. I said, what are you most worried about or concentrating on when you go to the plate? So first off, I've got my plan of attack. But second of all, I have to be on time. And when you see guys that are just a little bit out in front early in the count on a breaking ball and they're just a little bit behind a fastball, they're just not on time. There's two things you can control as a hitter: being on time and making your first move on time and having a plan. Other than that, you're reacting to whatever that guy is throwing you. And so those are two things that I key in on. Was he on time and ready, and did he have a plan? If the answer is no, don't even look at the swing. It's irrelevant. It doesn't even matter. The out was made before you even made a move to the ball. So I do think his path is fine. If he can just get on one side, whether it's hard or soft, and just stay on it for Springer, I do think he can hit a little bit.
Give him credit, too. The defensive side of the ball, it's excellent. Like, he's wanting to play defense, which is to do when you're struggling offensively. It really is.
Especially as a superstar. You're exactly right. He's made a ton. He made a game-saving play against the Dodgers, and it's so easy as a higher-paid player to kind of mope around and be selfish and mule lip a little bit, you know, that you're not hitting. But you're exactly right. It's a great point, Kevin, that he has gone out and played excellent defense and has actually won them a couple games with his glove.
Mule lip. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's a big lip.
I got that a lot in AA. I got that a lot. Hey, quit mule lipping, boy.
I like that one.
That's a good one.
I might have to use that sometime. Matter of fact, I'm going to write it down. How would you play it with Alek Manoah, and how do you think the Jays will play it with Alek Manoah?
Yeah, if I had a perfect world, I would give him one more start. But I just don't
in
think
the minors, right? One more
world.
Start. One I more would, start.
Yeah,
in the minors.
One more in the minors. I did. I loved the arm speed that he featured. It just the arm looked like it had a lot of life, and that tells me he's used his lower half properly. That arm is just effortlessly whipping there. He wasn't falling off as violently and uncontrollably as we've seen him in the past. The breaking ball, I love that shape, that kind of 12-6 downer shape. I think that is the one that he's looking for. He had it plenty against the Indianapolis Indians in that AAA start. I just think that for me, if I'm looking at Chris Bassitt, if I'm looking at Kevin Gausman, they're just kind of telling me without telling me, with the eye test, that they need these extra days. Yes, it is the first month of the season. Yes, they've had a couple short starts, but I just feel like they need the extra rest. And going to a four-man rotation last year, I don't know how they survived that. It was nothing short of a miracle that all four of those guys not only stayed healthy but continued to perform at the level they did. To ask them to do that a second year, even if it's for another like 2 weeks or so, it's a lot, but they're up against the clock with Manoah. And so it all makes sense. It's almost like a perfect world for Manoah. He's at the end of the timetable. He punches out 12-6 innings and there's an injury. It almost feels inevitable. I would prefer him get one more, but I wouldn't be angry or frustrated at all if they do give him that fifth start.
CJ, you've been on a team with an offensive expectation and they are not living up to it. Did it help that a front office did something, like send a guy down, bring a guy up? Did that give a different feel to a locker room or a lineup that, you know, basically, I don't think that would do it to the superstars, quote, unquote, but it might right. send a little bit of message. I hate saying that. Baseball's not like any other sport, right? The message, I don't know how you would do that. But do you think the right. Blue Jays front office is at that point where it's time to do something and sort of try and at least send a message?
Well, yeah, I have talked to a few GMs that they said they when they've been in this situation, there is a bit of a shock move that kind of sends a shock wave through the clubhouse that kind of nobody's safe. And it does. It jars you. I remember 2018 with the Baltimore Orioles. We were expected to win. We were probably on the tail end of this winning window. Which seems a little bit, I'm not going to say the Jays are on a tail end by any means, but we were in a position where we were expected to win. It was not going well. I think we were 13-28 or something around May 17th. We had an off day in Boston, and I get a phone call. Ooh. And this is a team full of studs, and I'm some just kind of 50-50 backup catcher type, and I'm hitting 191, but Adam Jones is not playing well. Manny Machado is not playing well. Chris Davis is not playing well. You name it. The superstars are not playing well. We're not hitting. We're pitching it okay. We're not hitting at all. And I got the call, and I got sent down. And I didn't even go in the clubhouse. They did it at the hotel. I didn't get to say bye to the guys that I've been in the big leagues with for four straight years. It was a shock to me. It was a shock to all of them. It didn't turn the season around, but I got a bunch of texts saying, hey, man, like, it's a business. It's a business time now. And so, you know, sometimes you make moves to try and direct some of the heat in other directions. And while I do agree that, you know, the Jays players need a lot of heat, sometimes there is a player that gets sent down where you're like, whoa, well, that's really weird. And it does. It can jolt you. But at the end of the day, our team still sucked. And we lost 115 games that year, and they blew it up by the All-Star break. And so sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. There's no science behind it. But, yeah, I was always fearful on off days when the team was struggling because it seemed like that was like the magic secret GM time to make a move. So maybe in 24 hours there's some move made. I wouldn't be surprised if there wasn't either.
Yeah, I left my cell phone at home off days when I was in the big leagues. If you're going to send me down, you come find me.
Yeah, you turned that cricket phone off. You threw that thing in the lake, didn't you?
Yeah, the Zach Morris phone. You know, it looks like a phone booth that you carried around.
Yeah, exactly.
I left that thing at home. Dude, you going to send me down? Come get me.
Mm-hmm.
Man, good luck finding me. Yeah.
Lock yourself in the hotel.
Good luck.
Lock yourself in the hotel.
What are you still doing here? Huh? You didn't find me. Sorry about your luck.
I ain't leaving.
Caleb, good of you to do this, man, as always. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy. You're the best.
Hey, see you on the other side.
When you guys figure the J's out, give me a call,
yeah,
right?
Oh, yeah, we will. You'll probably get a call from us around 6:25. Thanks, man.
Four!
See you later.
See you, buddy.
Four? Yeah. Are you talking about number of runs scored?
No. Oh, wow.
I was going to try to play off 4 and 5.
I wonder if that would do anything. Yeah, would Bo care? Would Vladdy care if Vogelbach got released or who else?
Here's the thing. You know, if you release Daniel Vogelbach, who are you bringing up? I mean, Joey Votto, does anybody know where he is?
No.
What he's doing?
No.
Is he swinging? I don't know. I'm not being facetious. I don't know. I have no idea if Joey Votto is. I just don't know. Because I know a lot of people are saying, well, why did they sign Vogelbach? They have Joey Votto. Well, do they? So I don't know where you go.
Relis Martinez? Maybe.
You know.
Are they at the why not stage?
Yeah. I mean, I would not want to be at that stage, but you know what?
32 games a lot.
Would I be surprised if they did it? What else are you going to do? Who else are you going to bring up that's going to make a difference?
Yeah.
Who are you going to send down? Okay, you get rid of Daniel Vogelbach. Okay, fine.
Just have to find some playing time for Martinez. I don't know where that's at.
I mean, that's
all.
I think what you have to do is, I mean, it's pretty clear they don't have the answer internally. So either you look on the waiver wire or you try to make some sort of deal. And again, when we start talking about deals, what do they have that you would move that wouldn't? Because it is, you're right, it's not early anymore, but it is still early. And if you want to make a trade and you think you got a shot at the playoffs, I mean, it's not like you're not going to back up the truck. I just don't know what they do. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, I don't know what they think about how close the first four guys in the order are of getting hot.
I don't either.
I'm sure they have all kinds of numbers and are trying to figure that out. I have no idea if they feel like it's close or not.
They're closer. I'm sure they think they're closer than we think they are.
I mean, just by reading the stats that sometimes are given to us about the Vladdies and the...
I worry about George Springer more than any other because... The caveat with George Springer when he first came up here was, can you keep him healthy? Can you keep him healthy? Can you keep him healthy? He's been healthy.
Yeah.
And he hasn't performed.
Nope.
It's almost as if the more he plays, the worse he gets. I mean, I can't put it any other way. Offensively, at least, you're right defensively. He's a terrific defensive player.
He is. A really good right fielder.
He's a very good right fielder and very important part of run prevention, et cetera, et cetera. But...
be nice to hit a homer 17.
And Caleb's point is well made. When's the last time you've seen him pull a ball deep down there?
Like deep. Effortless. Like he's not trying to do
Dave
it.
Dave Schneider does it.
I've told you this. Whenever you see guys that are falling across the plate, that means they're trying to do something outside the box, right? Yeah. What did we hear early in camp was George is going to try and pull more balls in the air.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to do that? You got to try and do that. Like, you got to direct it that way. You got to try and swing at stuff that way. Well, if you don't like the ball in.
Yep.
How do you pull it over? So they got some decisions that aren't going to be easy to make, I would think. Or you just keep running them out there, and at the end of the season, you can say, hey, we had the players, we ran them out there, they just didn't get it done, which I'm sure that's what they'll say.
Yeah, but boy, oh boy, it is May 2nd. That's going to be a long freaking year if this keeps up.
Yeah, they're at the bottom in all the hitting things that matter.
It can't
for sure.
keep up.
You don't think it can?
Something has to change.
There are 32 games of this. There are 32 games.
No,
a lot.
I'm saying
it's a lot.
I'm saying it can't.
Something's got to give.
Something has to give.
You would think so.
But then I thought that in the off season.
Well, I was in your camp.
It was Dave Hudgens. Bill Shaken will join us. 416-413-3959.
Give us your answer.
Give us your answer. Help us out. Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Break. breaking down the top stories in hockey, and Elliot Friedman every day. The Jeff Merrick Show. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Blair and Barker for an off day, for a Thursday off day. The Jays will start a three-game series against the Washington Nationals tomorrow night in D.C. And we'll be doing Blue Jays talk after the game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We are going to go to the back leg line later on today because it is an off day. 416-413-3959 is the number to call. Leave a voice note. I tweeted out the wrong number. I think I tweeted out.
Of course you did.
416-313-39. I mean, I don't even know why I bother.
Man.
Well, it's because I did it before the show, and, you know, we were in the middle of our intense show prep.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was
buying the coffee.
There's a lot going on. You know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there
it
was.
Takes a lot.
There was.
We put a lot into this high quality production.
Yeah, yeah.
We do.
Yeah, we sure do.
There's a lot of strategic thinking going on. Because if you've ever listened to this show, you know one thing about Blair and Barker? We trust the process.
We do. We care.
We care.
We try hard, too. We really try hard.
We try.
Hard sometimes.
And we trust the process. And we've done a really good job, I think, of improving our communication channels over the course of the
underlying
last year.
Numbers are off the charts.
They are certainly off the charts.
Do you think Khakis hate us?
I don't know. There's one guy that always I run into when I'm at the Rogers Center.
Yeah,
he gets a kick out of it.
Yeah, he's wearing jeans.
He is. He told me one day, pointed to his pants, and I look at his pants. He goes, "They're jeans. They're not khakis." Some people are saying
you should have said thanks for watching.
Some people said technically we should be calling them chinos and not khakis, which is probably right. We may, in fact, have been using the wrong word for the last 4.5 years. I'm just saying.
You're not going to ruin this for me. You're trying.
Khaki sounds better. So again, 416-413-3959. Questions, comments for Barker. Have you noticed lately that the number of calls have always been, I got question for Kevin.
Well, Kevin stunk for a long time offensively. And normally when you stink, you've tried everything. I would have hit right-handed on my head.
Caleb said.
To try and hit a baseball.
Hit so left-handed.
And I can't do anything right-handed. So if you.
You write right-handed.
I didn't.
Don't you?
Man, I laugh. Seriously, do you even know me, Jeff?
I thought you wrote right-handed.
It's like the first. It's like the first couple of times that I was started doing the show with you, and it's very easy to look up my page and see me actually hitting a baseball. And you said, "Didn't you used to hit right-handed?"
I could have been playing with you. Let's bring in Bill Shake into the LA Times. Hey, Bill, what's up,
Bill?
How are you?
Should I feel bad for Mike Trout?
Should you feel bad for Mike Trout?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a little bit.
Should we all feel bad for Mike Trout?
He cried. Bill?
Yeah.
There you are.
There you are.
I'll start this again. Should I feel bad for me? No, all kidding aside, I mean, Kevin and I were talking about this, about Mike Trout, and, you know, I can remember you used to have this argument, why would you even, you know, you might as well just retire the AL MVP award because it's always going to be going to Mike Trout. And realistically, how do you see this playing out? Like, I understand he's got the big contract. I know all that, but man, it just seems that at some point, whether it's karma or something, don't the Angels and Mike Trout have to move on from each other, Bill?
I don't think so, and I don't think there's any imperative on either side to do that. I know there's a storyline, I guess the kids like to use the word narrative these days, about how this is some grave injustice and the Angels need to move Mike Trout, and Mike Trout, more than anything, should want to move out. But Mike Trout has had two shots at free agency, two shots at leaving the Angels that, again, have not been in the playoffs in 10 years. It's not like their incompetence is a recent thing. And he's decided both times that he wanted to stay with the Angels before he ever got to free agency. He didn't even take a look at what the other offers were. He just signed with the Angels. And if he grew up with Derek Jeter as his role model and he wants to do that here, I don't know that it's anybody else's place to tell him what to do. But the other thing is, and I think this is what's coming into reality more and more, even if Artie Moreno, the Angels owner, wanted to trade him, and remember, Moreno didn't trade Shohei Ohtani at a time when you could have restocked the farm system, now you'd say, what are you going to do if you trade Mike Trout? He's got $213 million left on his contract. So one executive told me, like, doesn't matter what says on the back of Mike Trout's baseball card, he's going to be 33. He's been on the injured list four straight years, and there's $213 million left on his contract. Right. Nobody is picking up that contract. So the Angels would be in a position of paying some of that contract to make the best player in franchise history go away. That doesn't seem to make sense for anybody.
Bill, anything they can do to keep him on the field?
You know, it's hard to say because the injuries haven't all been the same. It's not like it's a hamstring for straight years or something like that. He's a big guy. He's getting older, and the older you get, the more prone you are to injury. And the unfortunate thing is you don't really see it in his performance. I mean, right now, even today, he's tied for the major league lead in home runs. His OPS plus is over 140. He's still a terrific player. He may not be up to the MVP standards that he was running out every year in the last decade, but he's certainly a guy anybody would want on their team. But if you're an opposing general manager at this point, and this isn't Mike Trout's fault, but you got to look and say, when was the last time you played 120 games? 2019.
Right. Yep.
So if you're going to acquire him, you got to figure that you're getting a guy who, if you get 100 to 120 games, it's a good year. Mike Trout would love to play 150 games. He's not hiding or, you know, trying to milk his injuries or anything. He wants to be back yesterday, but that's where he is at this point in his career. In the same way, you know, across town, the Dodgers have Clayton Kershaw, who used to throw 200 innings year in and year out. And now the Dodgers' plan for him is, if we can get him maybe 100 innings during the regular season, space it out just so he's ready for October. And that's one thing if you're one arm in a rotation. It's another if you're the best position player on the team, on a team that doesn't have the depth the Dodgers do.
Bill, you think it would help if they take him out of the outfield, maybe put him at first, maybe DH him every day? You think that would help or no?
It might, but again, it's not like his last injury was because he ran into a wall.
Yeah.
You know, it just sort of happened, so those things happen. They happen with more frequency as you get older. Could it help? Yeah. Could it hurt? No. But does it guarantee anything? No.
I want to look across town for a little minute, at the Dodgers. And, you know, we just saw them through here. And, of course, they came as advertised. Shohei Ohtani came as advertised.
Get what you pay for.
But, you know, have we learned, and I'm particularly interested in how this played out in Southern California and in Los Angeles. Have we learned anything about Shohei Ohtani, Bill, from how he's handled the whole controversy surrounding him? Because it's not that it's gone away. Maybe it's just because the team has played relatively well. But it seems, I admit, I thought it would be a little more of a lingering issue, regardless of, you know, what the baseball's investigation led to or what it didn't lead to or anything like that. I just thought that it would be a little more of a cloud over the team. And it doesn't appear to have been. Again, from a distance. And I'm wondering how you view it.
Yeah, one of the things that came up in his time with the Angels was how this guy was focused mostly on baseball. And the joke was, when you asked, you know, what do you do off the field? He'd say, I sleep a lot, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't going out and partying every night. He wasn't out in the community that much. He played baseball, and he obviously played very well. So in that sense, that's kind of what he's doing now. Where we're at in terms of our understanding of what happened with him based on a government investigation and not based on just a narrative pushed by Ohtani's people, is that he was led astray by the guy that he had worked most closely with since he arrived in America. And, you know, the federal government does the investigation, and they have access to phones and records, and they can compel people to sit for an interview and all sorts of things like that. When they go through that and they have the records to back up the idea that, yeah, unfortunately, his interpreter walled off an account, didn't let anybody else have access to it, and then used that money to pay off his gambling debts. It doesn't speak well for the people that work for Ohtani, his agent, and the folks that were managing his money. But, you know, Ohtani would be far from the first athlete not to pay close attention to his funds and trust in the people who he was paying to pay close attention to his funds.
How much of the Dodgers' ability to weather this, for want of a better phrase, owes to the fact that that's such a veteran clubhouse, right? And there are so many personalities in there.
I think that's part of it. And I think more importantly, even though people see $700 million contract, he's not the guy that has to carry the team because there's no one guy that does.
Right.
You know, you look at the Angels now, and it was Trout and Ohtani, and then Ohtani went to the Dodgers, and it was Trout, and now it's nobody. But you look at the Dodgers, Mookie's there, Freddie Freeman's there, Will Smith, their all-star catcher, is there, Teoscar Hernandez, who I know you folks know very well, has had a terrific year. They've got star pitchers. They've got more coming. You know, if Shohei misses a beat, he sat out last night's game for the first day off all season, and the Dodgers won, and they won big. Mm-hmm. So, you know, are they going to need him if they're going to win the World Series? Yeah. Do they need him every day? Not really.
Bill, what do you think they're most worried about, the pen or the rotation?
I think the bullpen right now, in the sense that I think they can look down the road and they can see the reinforcements for the rotation. Walker Buehler is coming off the injured list. He had Tommy John surgery. He'll get his first start in 2 years on Monday. Clayton Kershaw is working his way back. He's expected to come back mid-season. Dustin May, same thing. And they produce pitchers pretty well in that farm system, but the volatility of any bullpen is always an issue. And you know, this year the Dodgers have guys who are hurt, but even the guys who are healthy haven't produced the effect that they'd like. So, you know, right now it's Evan Phillips, the closer, and hope guys get better and hope the guys they have do better.
Bill, I'll put you on the spot just a little bit. A healthy 100% Mike Trout and this Mookie Betts. If you had to pick one of the two to start a team, which one are you picking?
To start a team today?
Yeah, but, you know, just because if both are healthy and 100% and not this Mike Trout, just that younger Trout doing those things, this Mookie Betts, what he's doing, which one you picking?
I think it would have been a harder question before this year.
Yeah.
But now they can both do so many amazing things offensively, but Mookie Betts plays shortstop.
I know.
So I think you'd have to go with Mookie right now.
Yeah. Play more precisions too. Yeah, big deal.
Bill, really good of you to do this, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bill.
All right, take care. Go Expos.
Take care. This is Bill Shaken, the LA Times. I'm just kind of surprised at how the whole issue surrounding the interpreter and the money has just, it's just gone. And, you know, I think Bill's right. I think there's a focus now on the people around Ohtani. And I think people are starting, enough people came out and said that, well, hang on for a minute. I know players who have had people handle money for them, and believe it or not, this actually does happen. I think enough people came out to say that it did create kind of a wall around him and allowed everybody to move on. But didn't you think it would be a bigger issue?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I
think once they started pointing the finger really hard at that person, you know, when a super uber rich person is sort of eliminated from doing wrong, you point the finger at the person that actually did it. Yeah, I mean, they can make it go away quick. And I think, yeah, it's the Dodgers and, you know, it's woe is me. How dare you take money from that guy? And, you know, it's not like it ruined his life. It's the last dollar he ever had, right? So, you know, I think they can move on now. And it's the Dodgers. It's the way they play. It's the way his year has gotten off to a really good start. I mean, he's basically carrying that team with Betts and Freeman. And, like, he's doing exactly what he was paid to do. And he's not been missing a beat. I think that's helped, too. So, yeah, I don't think it's – for me, anyway, I don't think that's a surprise that – it's went away, and they've laid the blame on one person.
Yeah, it's I don't know. Maybe I just thought that there would be more of a.
I mean, what else could they tell us?
Yeah.
They basically said that this guy stole money, lots of it, and Ohtani didn't really know it until they caught him.
Yeah, and I think we had Stan Kasten on it. Didn't Stan make the point, Dodgers president, that Ohtani sat down with Betts and Freeman and all the guys on the team and explained to them?
Well, basically said, I wasn't involved in this. I'm sure that was the conversation, right? It wasn't so much about, I'm assuming, what was taking place. It was just, I didn't have anything to do with this. I wanted you to know that.
As a former player, you know, and somebody who had to really fight for playing time, how do you view Mike Trout? You know, we said we feel sorry for him, but, you know, how do you view him?
Yeah,
I'm interested in Kevin Barker, you know, relatively high draft pick, mm-hmm. high prospect, all of that stuff. I mean, you've probably got a better view of a guy with all that talent who, through no fault of his own, just can't stay healthy. And let's make clear, this is not – no one's ever suggested Mike Trout isn't in great shape or doesn't take care mm-hmm. of himself or anything like that. Mm-mm. You know, we sit here and go, well, you know, it's sad and it's a waste, but he got his money. He's going to the Hall of Fame anyhow. He had it. But as a player, it's got to be – you got to look at that and just kind of go, man, like, what a waste.
Yeah, I think maybe a little. I mean, it sounds like he's a really good dude. Sounds like his teammates love him, like he's a stand-up guy. He's not going to make excuses. But I would think if you're on his team and seeing what he does and what he can do and sort of have that feeling every time you're walking around him, it's only a matter of time before he's not playing. I think it's come to that realization.
Do players feel that way with guys?
Absolutely. They know exactly the numbers. We know that the last time he played 120 games was 2019. That's a long time, right? So, absolutely. And that's too bad, right? It's because you'd like to see it. It's special things. Like, he does things at the plate and on a field that's special that not a lot of people can do, and you would like to see it. You would like to play with it, but it's a business, and you're thinking, I know if I were a backup center fielder or the fourth outfielder, only a matter of time before I'm playing every day. Heck yeah. I mean, it's only a matter of, I'm playing center. Only a matter of time before he gets hurt, and that's a shame. And I think it's come to the realization that it's not if, it's when. And that's too bad. And we don't have any idea whether that's things that he's not adjusted off the field during the offseason. I mean, this is a lot of things, and if you're the Angels and you want to get the $213 million left over, a little bit of worth out of that, and would like to see him play, you're going to have to adjust some things, whatever that is. Play first, DH every day, you know, give him more time off, whatever it is, try something different. Don't let him play center. Don't let him play the outfield anymore. Try something different. You'd think you'd have to do that.
What would be a good situation for Mike Trout? I'm not talking about which market or which team. What do you think? Let's look 2 years down the road, and Mike Trout is healthy enough to play 115 to 120 games.
Mm.
Let's hope. What would be a good situation for him? First base DH for somebody?
Yeah, I think you're going to have to talk him into that. It's not something you're going to make up your mind and force him to do it.
He is an elite center fielder.
Yeah,
was an elite center fielder.
Might be. I mean, he was a really good route runner. He didn't have much of an arm. Like there, you know, there was a lot of things that he did catching the baseball. After that, it was an elite. But okay. I get your point. Look, I think you got to have the conversation with him that says, how do we get at least 100 games out of you? Like, well, what are you doing in the offseason? Do I have to have somebody follow you around and help you? I don't know these things. Maybe he's elite with what he does. It's just he has a lot of bad luck. I find that hard to believe. But, it's a thing that they're going to have to figure out. And it's too bad for baseball because, again, when he's really good, he's great for baseball. People want to, you know, if you're staying up that late, people are actually going to flip over and watch that. Not a lot of people do watch it, but the people I'm sure that like baseball and love Trout would tune in to watch it. Anybody watching the Angels now? I wouldn't. I mean, I watch it because I love baseball, but most people don't. Most people wouldn't. What reason would you have? It's hard. It's tough.
You know, it would be, you know, in a perfect world, you'd like him to finish his career someplace where he gets a shot at.
If I were another team, why would I try and trade for Trout? He never plays. Plays 60 games.
You would have to.
What am I giving up for 60 games?
It would really have to be one of those.
You're eating the money. I'll take him.
Yeah. Or you know what? We got a bad contract. We'll give you our bad contract. You give us.
Why would the Angels do that?
But that's what I was going to say.
They've had enough bad contracts.
The only way I think you would pull it off is if bad contract plus prospect for. But, I mean, even then, a bad contract, 213 is 213, right?
Yeah, they got a third baseman who don't like baseball. They got a center fielder who can't stay healthy. Like,
oh, I forgot. Jesus, I didn't even mention
that's like
Anthony Rendon.
That's like, what do you do there? I mean, you give the owner a little bit of credit by just saying that he's trying to dump money in it to win a lot of games.
But it
has not worked out that way. And a lot of that's because of health, and a lot of that's just, you know, like you – had some bad luck when it just comes to personality and guy wanting to just go out there and grind it out and play every single day. Doesn't just seem like he wants to do that. So Angels in a bad place. I don't know what the right answer is, but I know if I were writing the checks, I'd be having a conversation. He'd be listening more than he'd be talking.
All right. 416-413-3959. It's the back leg line. Your chance to leave questions or comments. Observations for Kevin. We will get to the back leg line on the other side of the break. It's Blair and Barker on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet.
Big guests and bigger opinions on everything happening in Leafsland. Real Kipper and Bourne. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Leafs going to win tonight, right, Barker?
Sure. I think it's game 7 you got to worry about. That's seemed to be the one they have a tough time getting past.
Win tonight, probably 4-1. It is Blair and Barker for an off day.
You going to watch?
Yeah, well, tonight. I'll see what's on
Netflix. I'll be in and out.
See what's on Netflix first. I'm watching a bunch of series.
Right yeah. Now, so. All right.
I mean, usually it's, you know, the Jets are out, so Mike. Sort of rooting interest, such as it was, is gone.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I'll watch a bit of it.
There you go.
416-413-3959. That's the back leg line. And well, we usually peruse it on a Friday, but we thought with today being an off day and yesterday we had so many people want to weigh in on the state of the Jays after the 6-1 loss, we thought that we would maybe bump it up a day, or who the hell knows? Maybe we'll do it tomorrow as well. 416-413-3959. Zach from Toronto.
Right before you had Caleb on, I was trying to call you. I'm thinking put Ernie Clement number one. Just give it a shot. At least he can put the ball in play. That's my thoughts there. You gotta give Vladdy a couple days off. Let him think about it. Can't take Justin's bat out of the lineup right now. Put him at first base. Let me know what you think. Definitely Ernie Clement number one, and DH Jenny Jansen. When Kirky's behind the plate, put Turner at one. Let Vladdy sink it in. Let me know, boys. Have a good day.
Thanks, man. What do you think, Barker?
Yeah, I think the $25 million man leading off might have issue with that. That matters. Like how much you're paying a guy to do certain things in your lineup. I know sometimes drastic measures, you'd have to do things sometimes outside the box, but putting an Ernie Clement up there, I mean, there has to be a good reason. Has to be something you're going to do because of the way George is playing defense. Where are you putting George? Fifth, sixth, seventh? He ain't a run producer. He's got five RBIs. Like, how's it changing? How's this at bats going to look different down in the order than it is at the top of the order? That's just the thing, right, is you're going to need George sometime this year, Jeff, to get hot. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to have to do something sometime. How do you sort of weather the storm, still keep him, you know, the way you want to keep him if you try and move him around a little bit? Like, when they moved him around in the past, they had better options that were not Ernie Clements of the world. Now, I get it. Ernie Clement puts the bat to ball and, you know, but he ain't making $25 million. So, this is why, I mean, it's a decent thought. It's just, how would you sell it? What would the conversation be like with George? Hey, George, you know? Like, it's just not going to be an easy one. He's not going to like it. That's going to be a lot of tension. There's already tension in that clubhouse. You add that to the mix, it'd be even worse.
Yeah, and look, George is smart enough to know that if you drop them in the into the cleanup spot tomorrow.
He ain't hitting cleanup.
No, but what I'm saying is he's smart enough to know that if you moved him in there, it's not going to do anything to swing or anything like that. I mean, it's not going to impact where he is. I look at this lineup. I mean, maybe you put Bo in the leadoff spot. We've talked about that. But again, okay, what do you do with George? Well, do you hit George seventh? Do you hit him ninth? I mean, it's really hard when you're a team that isn't built to bludgeon teams offensively. It's hard to hide guys. I keep bringing up Matt Chapman. We saw it last year with Matt Chapman. Guys aren't going to change because you drop them in the lineup.
I don't think think it's going to change how they're being pitched.
No.
I think a little bit of that is sometimes why you're getting dropped down is you get less at-bats. There's a little bit less pressure on you to carry a team.
Right.
That's sort of what they're asking George to do is that's why he's trying to pull baseballs in the air.
But see, I got to say this now. See, I'm going to disagree with you. I don't think they're asking George to carry
the
team.
Sure they are.
No, they're asking Bo and Vladdy to carry the team.
They've said the first four guys. George is the
right. Yeah, they've said the first four guys. We know that George is not going to carry the team. Has George carried the team since he's been here?
They're paying him $25 million to do it.
Has George carried the team since he's been here?
No.
All right. So, yeah, they're you know.
You listen to the GM and the president, they've come out and said that it's up to the first four guys. Yeah. They're going to take us where we're ultimately going to be. George is in the mix. First four guys.
They can say that. They can say that if they
want.
I'm
not saying I agreed.
No, they can say that if they want. Bo and Vladdy are going to carry the team. George Springer's never, ever, 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 ever going to carry this team. Never.
I mean, that's a bit strong.
Nope.
I mean, I think he could have a really good week.
The reason you got George in this team.
October, yeah, but they may not even make it to October.
Well, I'm saying, no, but that's the reason you got him in this team.
And the Vladdy thing, look, Vladdy don't look lost anymore. Like, I think that's very hard to, again, you got to be able to sell this. Zach, if you're the manager, how do you sell it? Like, it's not, Vladdy's not, he don't have it in his DNA to walk in there and go, hey, Skip, I got 92 days. So you're going to be selling this to Vladdy. Mm. How do you sell it? Like, this is the thing, right? He looks better than he looked 2 weeks ago. No, he doesn't. He does. I think he does.
He looks better, yeah.
He don't look like he's on time all the time, which for me, he should be hitting balls to the moon. He's not. But if he was on time, he would be. That's just me thinking that. So, you got to be able to sell this. And how would you sell it May 2nd? You sell it on a plane when you're all drinking? I don't know.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Dave from Alliston.
I just wonder, even you guys don't seem to talk about it very often, why isn't there more of a comparison between Shapiro and Atkins and what Alex is getting done in Atlanta? These guys have been in charge of the Jays now, what, 8-9 years? They haven't won a single playoff game, let alone a series. There's Alex every year, one of the best teams in baseball, won a World Series. I just don't understand why that conversation isn't growing in leaps and bounds, and actually why even you guys aren't drawing those comparisons. Thanks.
Yeah, I don't know who you've been listening to, but we've talked a lot with Alex and about Alex. I mean, comparisons. Alex isn't coming back tomorrow. So in terms of comparisons, we talked a lot about how the Braves are better players. And Alex,
no question,
very aggressively locked up his young players.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about that a lot. I don't know how many times I've talked about why don't the Jays do what other organizations have. Why didn't they do? It's too late now, but why didn't they do what the Braves did with Ronald Acuna Jr.? I mean, any of their guys. Pick any of their guys. They locked them up.
Obviously, yep.
I'm going to say this. Alex has big stones. You know, he basically said to Freddie Freeman, thanks for coming.
He did.
And then
turned around and paid the first baseman.
Turned around and paid.
Just as much money.
As much. Paid the yeah. guy who was replacing
yeah, yeah.
him just as much.
Yeah.
Alex Anthopoulos is a rare bird. He really is.
That's well said.
And he just had better players. And
I think that helps.
He went to an organization that had better young players and a deeper farm system. But in terms of comparing the jobs, I mean, I don't know. I don't think any of us have ever said that Ross Atkins and Mark did a better job than Alex. I mean, I guess we could do a daily segment on Alex if people are interested. But this idea that we don't talk enough about it. I mean, I could talk about it every day. I suppose I don't know if it's going to change anything. But yeah, there is no doubt that Alex Anthopoulos. That's one of the reasons he's gotten the contract he's gotten. And one of the reasons he has as much power as he has is because he's brave, man.
Yeah, yes.
He is brave.
Yeah.
And
sometimes you got to take chances.
And you know what? Like and you saw this with Mike Soroka. He can be cutthroat too.
Yeah.
Like he's not married. He doesn't necessarily have his guys. He's not married to guys. If he can make a move, he will make the move. And I get back to the Freddie Freeman thing. I mean, I'll ask you. This is unfair. Do you think Alex Anthopoulos would have handled Bo and Vladdy the same way they've been handled here? Or do you think he would have realized by now one of them isn't going to sign and he would have moved him on for something else?
Bigger question is, you think he would have offered Vladdy a deal?
And he is the guy
who drafted
him. Who signed him.
Yeah, signed him.
He's the guy who signed him. Right, Alex and his people. Alex went down to the Dominican Republic. Alex was the guy who said to him, what position do you play?
Pick one.
So, yeah, that I would be really interested in knowing how this would be playing out.
We'll never know the answer
with Alex
to how Vladdy would look with a deal.
No, we won't.
And that's a shame, I think. Not saying give him $300 million, but buy out some of them and give him a little confidence to say, we got your back. What better way to do that than pay a guy?
Yeah. And,
those words, not mine.
I was going to say, that, well, Alex also in the National League East, but let's be clear, the National League East
is pretty good. The Phillies are
pretty good. It's a pretty good division.
Yeah.
But, I mean, listen, your point is well made, and I know people in this market. I know the love they have for Alex. The trade he made in 2015, I mean, it electrified this city. And in the long run, what did it cost the Jays? Jeff Hoffman's the reliever, decent reliever in Philadelphia right now. Anybody else from that trade? I mean, I'm forgetting somebody, but anybody else from those deals really tearing it up?
Yeah, it's worth it.
I mean,
is what you're saying.
It was.
Yeah.
Now, it didn't work out. David Price didn't work out. But you'd probably have a redo in that.
No.
No, I'm saying if you...
No.
If you could do it again, you would do it again. That's what
absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not
no
a redo.
Question.
If you could do it again, you would do it again.
Yeah, David Price.
And in Toronto.
Would it help if they finally convinced Vladdy that he is actually not a home run hitter? He's a double hitter, never triple, I don't think, but he's a good single and double hitter. But he's not a home run hitter anymore, which would mean he does not swing like he's spinning himself into the ground every time with no timing. Could you please comment on that?
Yeah, that's
Vladdy is not a home run hitter. He was in minor league parks, but he's not now. And they need to convince him of that. Please let me know what you think.
Yeah, it's a fair question. Look, I've had conversations with Vladdy. He doesn't think he's a home run hitter. He thinks he's a line drive hitter that goes out of the park. Like, he wants to hit the ball really hard. He's swinging like that because he's late. And mechanically, he's playing catch-up a ton. Last year, it was hand movement. Everybody knows. They talked about that till they're blue in the face. Hand moved down here, playing catch-up. He's late. That's why the ground balls look like he had alligator arm. Barrel wasn't staying in the zone long enough. Sort of the same kind of thing, right? Except the elimination of this. It's not this anymore. It's this. Now it's the gather. When do I start it? You can watch him. You can watch what pitchers do. Disrupt timing, Jeff. They talk about that all the time. Turner, all the time, every time they ask him, what's the key to hitting? Timing. Vladdy's no different. This is what I said. It's just amazing to me why they don't do something with that. Not saying you're married to that certain thing forever. It's just right now, why don't you just sort of adjust that and make it a little different? But to Ann's point or question, he don't think he's a home run hitter.
Should they not have let him in the home run derby? The Jays? Should they have said nope?
Yeah. It's Colorado, wasn't it? Colorado?
I'm just asking. He's been in a couple of them.
What difference that make?
Just asking. I don't know. I don't think
I've never heard Vladdy talk like he's trying to hit homers. I think he thinks he hits the ball so hard that the park won't hold it. He's a line drive hitter. He understands that he has a steep path. Hands go by the face, not under the face. Under the face is the Beau Bichette thing. Lead with your back elbow. That's under your face. He's a by your face. By your face means barrel's the last thing you see. Point of contact, out in front. Everything has to happen in front of the front leg. That's the timing thing. It's just consistently, that's why you saw the curveball that he hit and everybody was yelling and screaming about the 115 miles an hour. That should never be a single. Dude's too good. That should be 3,000 feet in the air. Nobody can ever catch it. That's where it should be. That's the difference, right? It's just all that happening. That's a tremendous question by Ann. This is just me, the conversations that I've had with people, him, people around him. He doesn't feel, they don't feel like he's a home run hitter. They just think he hits the ball so hard the park can't hold it.
Yeah.
When he's right.
And he
just hasn't been right mechanically for a while.
But see, he also, and one of the things that I think we need to give Vladdy a little more credit for is, and I think ultimately this is going to be very good for him. One thing he has shown me over the course of his time in Toronto is when he came up, and of course his father's in the Hall of Fame, you're always going to be compared to your father when you're a baseball player. If you are considered, when you come into the game and you're considered elite, like we're not talking Kevin Biggio comparing to Craig. Vladdy came into the game as the guy.
Hall of Famer.
And his dad,
sure,
Vladdy Sr., was a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
Vladdy Sr. used to swing at everything.
Mm-hmm.
And quite often could hit everything. And my concern with Vladdy Jr., you know, other than not knowing what position he was going to play and whether he was going to stay in shape. And again, I keep saying this. Vladdy deserves credit for
posting.
For posting and for changing our opinions about him in a couple things. But I also like the fact he's not a wild swinger.
No, he's a hard swinger.
He's a hard swinger.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a wild swinger.
He's not.
He'll take his walks. And I think that's something. Like, this is good. Vladdy will eventually figure it out. And I don't know what that means, figuring it out.
He may not be a Jay.
But there are parts of his game, you know, that we've talked about this. The fear is, what if he does really figure it out? Because there are elements of his game that are good right now.
Yeah.
And
see, I think he's not far away. That's me. I think a minor mechanical change. Now, could he do it in season? That would be tough.
Like, but they don't seem to think that he needs to do it.
Yeah, again, I read those stats to you, and I'm not going to read them out loud hard he hits the baseball.
But they don't seem. John Schneider was on our show. He doesn't think they need to do it. He thinks he's making changes.
The last 2 years, he doesn't have to tell us. The last 2 years tell us exactly what he's not doing.
I think we're getting a theme here. Tony in New Jersey reached out to the back leg line. 416-413-3959.
Listen, guys, you're asking about what's going on with the lineup, what I would do. I mean, maybe not forever here, but I would take Springer out of the leadoff spot. Just, you know, for a few games, wake him up a little bit, you know, send a little bit of a message. I don't think it's going to solve everything in one shot, but you got to do something here, guys. And also, I don't know what's going on with Joey Votto, but do you have an update on him? I mean, this is the craziest rolled ankle I've ever seen, guys. I don't know. All right, thanks.
You know, he sounds like Mark Boffo.
He does. That sounds familiar.
You sure that wasn't you?
That sounds familiar.
It does sound familiar.
I don't have any idea where Joey's at. The last time I saw Joey, he picked me up off the ground. That was after the incident.
I mean, I did see him walking through the stands in Dunedin. I honestly don't know.
It's confusing.
It is.
It is.
It's a rolled ankle. But I don't know. I don't have any idea.
I don't either.
I just don't. And I've got to tell you the truth. I mean, guess, you know what? I'll ask John Schneider tomorrow when he comes on.
Yeah.
I'll ask him because I don't know.
Where's Joey?
I don't know if, maybe Joey will send out. Joey, you know what? Send out a tweet and let us know what you're doing. Or X or whatever it is. Let us know what you're doing. But people have asked that. Why is Daniel Vogel back here instead of Joey Votto? And yeah, I don't know what's up with him. I don't.
Yeah.
It's possible that. You would think we would have heard something.
You would think if he's raring and ready to go because of the at-bats that they like from him with a guy standing at second, he would be here.
Yep.
Yeah.
Let's go to Pete in Vancouver.
Pete.
I'm not hearing no Pete in Vancouver. Do we have Andy in Hamilton?
Just wanted to say that it just seems like they've lost. It seems like they've lost motivation. You know, we're 20 plus games into the season. Looks like they're just kind of swinging at whatever they can to put a bat on the ball. There's that. I also don't understand the moves of putting in Vogelback and giving Turner another day off. Turner's batting. He's one of our best bats, and yet, you know, we're playing righty-lefty. I think at this point we want to play consistency. I don't know. Just wondering what you guys' thoughts are. Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, he's 39 years old. They've got access to – I mean, they got the dude wired up. They know what his heartbeat – they know all that stuff. They do strength test. I mean, I'm sure he needed it. I'm sure there was some reading someplace that went beep, 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 and they said, okay, we got to give him a day off. I'm sure there was. Daniel Vogelback's on this team for one reason, and that is to come up and hit a home run late in the game. He's not on this team to take you from 3.5 or 3.3 runs a game to 5.3 runs a game or whatever it is. He's not here to be an everyday player.
Every once in a while, he'll hit cleanup because Turner's not hitting cleanup.
Yeah. But I don't have, I certainly don't have any issue with a guy.
Well, sometimes it's a tough watch, but you do have to remember the guy is 39 years old. I know he DHs more than he plays, but DHing even, you know, at certain ages, you got to be careful. You want to see him DH in 125 plus games.
And,
I'm sure they have their plans.
I'm also going to, I don't know about motivation, Pete, but I am going to say this.
It's hard to be motivated when you stink.
I've
stunk a lot.
The number of people the amount of people I've run into who I consider to be not only pretty knowledgeable baseball fans, but rabid, engaged Blue Jays fans, I get asked more and more, why do they, you know, I used the phrase dead ass yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Why does this team look like that?
Well, they're 30th in a lot of categories. Yeah, That's why.
You're right. But
how bad was the clubhouse when in 2015 the meat of that order wasn't Reagan. Being good?
Oh, wasn't being good?
Yeah, you know as well. They were moody.
That was 20.
Oh, what great.
The end of the dying days of the Batista, Eddie, Donaldson era.
It's no
Russ
different
Martin
now.
That was not pretty.
When your boys,
this isn't the try league. You know, this is the get it done league.
There you go. Whenever those guys are not getting it done, it's a trickle-down effect to mood.
But there
I've
is.
I've been in those locker rooms.
But we talked about this last year. It's not an exciting team to watch.
No.
I mean, it's not.
Run prevention teams are what they are. Teams that don't hit a ton of homers. Homers to me are fun. I like it. I like homers. I used to try and hit them all the time. It's hard to do, especially it's hard to do now off really good pitchers. And then when you have one of your higher named coaches basically come out and say, we ain't going to hit a bunch of them. Like, we're going to have to string together 3 or 4 or 5 hits in an inning, and somebody's going to have to, you know, go on a hot streak when it comes to just getting hits and doubles and
the
thinking
other thing
the other
is,
way.
Know,
I mean, that's a tough watch sometimes.
And you know that doesn't work in the postseason.
It's hard.
That's part of the deal.
It's tough. It's tough.
Part of the deal is we're going to try to do something.
I mean, he's right.
He's right.
He nailed it.
He's right, but that begs
nobody likes to hear it.
Well, and that begs the question, why is that the way it is then?
Yeah.
And that's, so to the caller's point, yeah, I don't think anybody lacks motivation, but I don't see...
it's just a grind when you're not good at it.
This is a team that's been grinding since opening day.
Watch when the dudes that are struggling don't get a hit in their first at bat. They're all happy, lovey-dovey on the on-deck circle, can't wait to run up there and hit. And then they ground out on a pitch they think they should hammer, and it ain't happy to run up there and
hit
anymore.
Here we go again.
Yeah, it's because you work so hard. I've been there. I know how it feels. And again, I'm not making excuses for them. Baseball's hard. Like, and it's even harder when the snowball tends to start going a little faster down that hill, and you're trying to figure out ways to stop it, and you think you've stopped it off the field, and it just, for whatever reason, it's not translating, and it gets between your ears. And that part of it's contagious, especially whenever your studs are not getting it done, and that's why you're hearing that, you know, about the 1-4.
And I'll tell you what, you know, the first person to know it's Groundhog Day is the groundhog. And I guarantee you that what we're seeing and what we're thinking, you know, like that camera shot of Bo in the dugout, you know what he's thinking. Well, I've seen this sucker. I've seen this. I've felt this. This is like, what are we, 32? This is like game 197 of the 2023 season. That's the way these guys are feeling. So, but I mean, I the lack of motivation thing, it's entirely possible they... It's got to be an awful realization. It's got to be an awful feeling to wake up and go, you know what? Maybe we are the last place team. Maybe we are that.
Mm.
Maybe this is what we are, and it's May 2nd.
You really don't want to start thinking that 32 games in.
No.
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 So hopefully that's not the case.
And how do you... and
put your big boy pants on.
Well,
figure it out.
I think they put their big boy pants on.
Yeah, well, I mean, sometimes I think whenever you're struggling and you're not getting it done one way, change is not a bad option. I think that sometimes you go outside the box. It's funny that you hear people like Caleb and me say we'd do anything whatsoever, walking to the plate.
I think sometimes guys are different now, it is
because they're getting paid a lot of money at young ages.
I think maybe these guys did put their big boy pants on. The only problem is they looked down and said, oh, hell, they're khakis. I think that could be the case.
That's it for us. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4 Eastern. John Schneider joins us.
Enjoy the hockey. And don't forget, go Leafs, go.